Hello, and welcome back to the Cast to End Poverty, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories, insights, and ideas from across the movement to end UK poverty. I'm Gavin Aitchison, and in this episode, we'll be hearing about the power of words, specifically the power of poetry. Poetry can be activism, and it can help to make the world a better place. That's one of the beliefs that has driven Matt Sowerby in recent years, as he has used his skills and passion as a poet to press for a more just society. Last year, Matt and my colleague Ben worked together with people around the country to produce an anthology of poetry based on poverty and the pandemic, but Matt's own story goes back further. Last week, Matt, Ben and I caught up for a chat on Zoom, and I began by asking Matt to tell us about his work in general and how he became engaged in social issues.
I work as a poet, I perform and I teach and I do commissions and that kind of thing, and I write a lot of poems. And one of the big opportunities that I had that got me into that actually was one that was offered by End Hunger UK, they were working in collaboration with the Young Poets Network, which is part of the Poetry Society in the UK. And they set up this competition, and I saw it very last minute, and I decided to enter, and ended up winning that, and that became part of a campaign. I think it was about measuring food insecurity in the UK, Measure to Mend, and the video of that poem toured the UK, and then I ended up performing that in Parliament at the, I think it was a End Hunger UK conference. And that was just incredibly eye-opening to me. And just, I learned so much during that day about anti-poverty work. And then I think I wanted to keep doing, finding out more about this issue and writing more about this issue. And I think I got in touch to find out the best ways to go about that, the best way to have conversations with people, the best ways to respect other people's stories. Bearing in mind that this isn't something that I had any first-hand experience with, I wanted to explore it, but in an emotionally sensitive way. And Ben was like, okay, why don't you just start doing stuff? Why don't you come along to this? Why don't you be part of this project? And fantastically, throughout my as I've gone on to go on and do poetry more professionally and to make it a bigger and bigger part of my life, then Judge Action on Poverty, under its various hats, has supported me in that, I suppose, which has been really nice.
So Matt, I wondered if I know you're kind of a climate activist as well. I was just wondering where that sort of personal interest in kind of poverty came from and why you are so passionate about it as an issue.
Right. I think I'm really interested in the ways that poetry can be activism and poetry can make the world a better place. I think a lot of people that, especially working in this sector, feel that if there's a, there's some things that are just so unjust that you feel like you need to do something about it. And poverty and climate are just both things where I've kind of recognized that injustice, as many people have, and just felt like, okay, well, this is the niche skill set that I can bring to this issue. Now I've got to try and figure out how I can make this useful. And I feel like I was wasting mine and everyone else's time if I was just writing about things that didn't matter and wasn't going to help anybody. I'd feel like if I was just going to write about trees or something in a non-politically engaging way, then that would... I feel a certain social responsibility, I suppose, and the more that I engage with this issue, then the more that I felt that I needed to be doing something about it.
So you mentioned briefly there about poetry being a form of activism. How do you think poetry and, I guess, the wider arts can bring about social change, and what are the opportunities there?
A lot of different ways. I think the one that people often think of first is awareness raising. And I do think that's part of it, but I also think that art has so many other uses. I think that it helps us look after ourselves. I think a lot of artists or people that work in arts would sympathize with the idea that art is something that they need to do to sustain themselves or to engage with to sustain themselves. And what we do as activists is emotionally very difficult. And burnout is a real issue that I think we've probably all experienced at some point. And for me, at least, art is a huge part of helping me through that and making me more effective as an activist. And I also feel like there's something about artists being people who are willing to be generative and engaged in their work. So people that aren't just looking to consume things all the time, or these are people that want to make something or make a change. And I think there's a very small, like a very thin line between making something and making a change. And so I think it does teach us something about our agency and the ways in which we can make a difference in the world, the more that we engage with arts.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting how you put it there about sort of so often things can feel wasteful or we're consumed by so much, but when you engage in something creative, you are actively making something. How relatable that is to activism. Do you think that's something that, and you also mentioned there about sustaining yourself and perhaps touching upon well-being and I guess doing creative things, making you feel a bit better about yourself or your environment. Do you think that's something that has been even more sort of evident and important to people during the last 18 months and over the course of the pandemic, that perhaps more people have become creative or have valued making things more than consuming and wasting things?
I absolutely think so. I mean, not everybody, and some people are going to have the realities of their situation will mean that they don't have the what might be seen as the time or the luxury of time to be engaging in creative pursuits. But what I actually find is that people do it anyway if they need to. You know, someone will walk down the street on their way to work and they'll just daydream something in their head, and that could be a poem, or that could be a journal if it was written down. They might just write something on their phone on the bus, I think that people do turn to methods of creative expression. I'm a big believer that art is a necessity. And I think that in times of financial and political and any kind of emotional uncertainty, then people will turn to arts. I think we saw that at the start of lockdown, that there was a huge boom in the amount of people that are making stuff. I think really because they felt like they had to, because when you've got arts helps us understand the world around us, stories help us understand the world around us, and we needed that, and people naturally found that that's what they were doing. For me, so I spent the first 5 months of lockdown as the poet in digital residence at Church Action on Poverty. It was my the way that I understood that role was that I had to find or figure out the best way to make poetry useful to the anti-poverty movement, and so that involved workshops in political poetry with experts by experience, with experts by engagement, with researchers. It involved I ran an open mic, a monthly open mic. That was an opportunity for people to help build community, really. The kind of togetherness that I think we're all feeling like we needed, and that art can help facilitate. So we put together an anthology of poetry exploring lockdown, exploring poverty. What else happened? I'm not sure, that kind of thing.
That's great, Matt. I just wondered if you could touch upon some of the people who joined those workshops, because I know I joined the majority, and there were people who were already poets and creators, some people who never really engaged in that. And I certainly felt like a sense of community was built over that time. How was that process for you? Had you worked with people prior to that who hadn't really seen themselves as creatives? How do you feel that perhaps those who identified more as a poet then became aware of wider issues relating to poverty? What did that community, what did those people attending, what did it look like and feel like for you?
I think the workshops, like open mics, poetry workshops, they are powerful experiences. I always learn so much, whether I'm facilitating or whether I'm participating. Like you say, there were people who were poets, there were people who were activists, there were people who were experts by experience in poverty. One of my favorite things about workshops, one of my favorite moments is when I run an activity afterwards, people might choose to read out their work. They don't have to, but a lot of them choose to do, and everyone else listens. And that's always like a moment of education. That's always eye opening. Often to the person that's written it as well, that they figure out something in that space, in that moment, through that activity, through that prompt. But it's all them that's done that work. That in that moment, the poem has become helpful to them. And it's helped everyone else understand them a bit better.
I mean, I think there's something quite powerful about something that somebody has created being physically produced and sitting in a book. I mean, that is very empowering for people. And people who have never written poetry before, seeing something they've created in print that now sits in some libraries and various other places around the country and people's living rooms and all that sort of thing. I think that in itself, certainly when people felt like there were so many constraints in place and that they couldn't participate in life in ways in which they did prior to lockdown, that being able to still feel that they were part of a community and part of a new community, which was exciting for people because they learned stuff from that. I mean, I learned stuff from that, from being involved, and it made me more creative, I think, as well. So I think that sort of shared solidarity, I think people learned new things as well. So about different types of activism, whether that was around sort of gender or climate, people who I perhaps have worked with for a few years who had been very much just involved in the anti-poverty movement. I think becoming aware of other issues and kind of struggle, and that shared struggle brings that kind of solidarity along with it. And then I think out of that, how people, the way in which they think sort of changes. So whether they're writing a poem or not, just thinking more creatively around how they want to put a message across, which I learned from a lot of the workshops. It wasn't necessarily about that final output of a poem. It was about how can I put a message across? What am I trying to say, and how best can I do that? I think for me, they're the main things that came out of it.
The feedback that I got is that it did mean so much to so many people to engage in the process, but also to be able to say, like, I'm a published poet at the end of that, and to know that for the rest of their lives, that is part of who they are.
Yeah, completely. I was just wondering, Matt, in terms of I mean, looking ahead, things are in some ways still quite uncertain, but what role do you feel the arts has as we move out of the pandemic, as we as communities perhaps need to organise and engage with each other in different ways? Obviously, so much of what we do now is online. Does that bring about new opportunities, new challenges? What are your hopes for kind of using poetry or the wider arts to campaign and bring people on the journey with you as we look into the future?
Right. So I think one of the skills that a poem has is being able to fossilize a feeling. So as we've already talked about, lockdown increased poverty in this country very severely, and for absolutely everybody it was a time of emotional upheaval, and so many people were calling for change, were calling for building back better and rethinking society. And I think that what the gift that the poetry that was created during lockdown, I think the gift that's going to provide for the future is reminding us of that dissatisfaction with the way that we've been living before, and the unjust structures that allowed COVID to affect people in poverty so badly and increase poverty in this country, and so that's sort of that's my hope for the poetry that's already been written and how that might help us going forwards.
Just before we go, because we've only got a couple of minutes left, what's next for you then, Matt? What are you working on at the moment, or what's on the horizon?
What's on the horizon? I think one of the things that I'm really engaging with at the moment is figuring out how we can live more hopefully. I think this is, I'm really interested in this idea of poetry being something that can sustain us. And I think activists need sustaining. I think what we do is exhausting. And so I'm really writing about this. I'm really researching about this, and trying to like get to the core of that issue of like, what's the, how do we need to think about hope? That is different from optimism, generative, that isn't blind, that allows us to take bad situations where it seems like there is no light and be able to try and create some light for ourselves. So it sounds like a big task, but I'm kind of doing a lot of creative work around that, a lot of thinking and researching about that, and seeing what I can bring back from that.
That sounds fascinating. We can hopefully look forward to hearing about that again, maybe a bit down the line.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
And thank you for listening to this episode of The Cast to End Poverty. We've been hearing from poet Matt Sowerby and Ben Pearson from Church Action on Poverty, discussing the role of poetry and the arts in social change. You can learn more about the poetry anthology that Ben and Matt discussed online at church-poverty.org.uk/sameboat. That link is also in the notes to this episode. If you've enjoyed listening, please do hit the subscribe button on your smartphone or tablet so you can check out previous episodes and listen in next time as well, when we'll be taking another look at the movement to end UK poverty. Thank you and goodbye for now.